Good morning. It is good to see everyone today, and as the sun's shining and the warmth of the day, it's been a while coming, but it's finally here, and definitely enjoy it. If I had to ask you a question today, that question might be, because we've been talking about it for a while, it's what is your calling? What are you called to do? Or I might even say something a little different away from that is, why are you here today? Some people might respond, for the fellowship. We love fellowship. And fellowship is really good. And it's great to come together and be with brothers and sisters in Christ and just to know that we're kind of loved regardless. It's a very important part of why we're here. I also might hear something like, oh, I came for the absolute outstanding dynamic message that's going to be preached. And I'd have to say you're blind or deaf or something. But we all have a calling. We all have a purpose. We have a reason we're here. Many years ago, there was a large boulder in the middle of this very well-traveled roadway. And traveler after traveler, as they walked past on this road, they would come to the boulder and they'd veer off to the side of the road to get around it. And all the while, they'd be shaking their heads and complaining, saying, can you believe that? Someone should get that big boulder out of the way, get it off the road. What an inconvenience. Well, finally, a man came along, and he was walking on the road and seeing the boulder and how much of a disturbance it was. He got a long stick to pry with, and he pried the boulder up and got it to roll off the road and off to the side. And then what he found lying underneath the rock, he found a bag with a note. And it read as follows: thank you for being a true servant of the kingdom. Many have passed this way and complained because of the state of the problem and spoken of what ought to be done. But you have taken the responsibility upon yourself to serve the kingdom instead. You're the type of citizen we need more of in this kingdom. So please accept this bag of gold. The traveler after traveler have walked by simply because they didn't care enough about the kingdom to serve. I wonder what bags of gold that maybe we're missing each day simply because we don't bother to get involved in serving our heavenly kingdom. You've heard me say it before. Where is the kingdom of God? Is the kingdom of God in here? Okay. Yeah. Maybe I need to do jumping jacks or something. It'd hurt my shoulder, but if that'll wake you guys up, I'll be glad to do it. I'll run in place, but that would really make you laugh. But we want to understand the kingdom of God, it's not just in here. It's out there, and that's where people are, and that's where we find the kingdom, and that's where we find engagement. And that's where the bags of gold are. God calls us to worship, and he calls us to be in the kingdom, be part of the kingdom. And the third purpose, really, as we've been talking the past few weeks, of my life is to serve Jesus. Did you ever think of that? We're called to serve Jesus. And as Christians, we get so far off track with it, we miss it. We don't see it. And what happens is there'll be a situation to come up and we'll find ourselves thinking godly, and that's so wonderful, but it just happens ever so often. The mission, the calling, is to serve Jesus all the time. Ephesians 2:10 says, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Which God prepared in advance for us to do. God's already prepared the way. He's already put it together. He's always already brought things for you. He's kind of greased the tracks. And all we have to do is look at it and move forward. God, it says, the passage says, we're God's workmanship. We're God's masterpiece. See, each one of you are unique. Look to somebody next to you and say, you're unique. Now, look back to them and say, you're special. There's nobody like you in the world. There really isn't. And you were created by God to be loved. You were created by God to be involved in kingdom and community. And you were created by God to do good works. Doing good works, that's real simple. It's called service. And it means your ministry. All of us here, everyone in this room, has been called to be a minister.
What?
To minister to other people. That's your calling. That's your service. God designed you and created you with a specific purpose in mind, and all of us are called to minister. We're not called to be pastors. There's a difference. But all are called to be ministers. So what is a pastor? Well, really, it's simple. The job of the pastor is to administer the ministers. It's to help you realize what your calling is, to realize what your job is, to realize what God expects from you, and to help you and encourage you along the way. And sometimes what I find, especially when it comes to callings, people don't want to talk too much about it. Because if they talk about it and if we discuss it too much, it means they're going to have to do something. Now, as I think through the congregation, and I love everybody in this room, and I love those who aren't here yet, or not, aren't here today, and I love those who haven't started coming yet, but they will. But here's the thing. I start talking to you about your calling, and people shut down. Because calling is not always convenient. You hear that? Calling is not always easy. As a pastor, sometimes my calling as a pastor is very difficult because people I love and people I'm trying to move forward in the kingdom and people that I'm trying to help don't listen. They don't follow. They just shut down. Pastor, you say I'm supposed to do this. I don't have the time. That's not what my Bible tells me. When I read my Bible, it tells me there's time for everything. And when it comes to your ministry, when it comes to what God has called you to do, I know for a fact there is plenty of time. Does that mean you're going to have to shift something else in order to do ministry? Yeah. Because a lot of it is you filled your life and you filled your time with so much junk and so much stuff that doesn't need to be there. So you don't want to carve that out to make time for ministry. But you are called to be a minister. Your life calling, if we want to look at it this way, is you are to be bivocational. Come on, work mouth. Bivocational ministers of Jesus. Let me try and explain that to you. What does bivocational mean? It's kind of like the bifocals that I actually have over my eyes right now. When you get glasses that are bifocals, it means that you can see two things at the same time. You can see far away and you can see close up. You can see with clarity, and when you're bivocational, there's too many bis in this message. Bivocational minister of Jesus, it means that no matter what you do in life, you do it for two reasons and not one. It doesn't matter if you're a truck driver, an attorney, a janitor, a nurse, a homemaker, a teacher, a stockbroker, an accountant, or a farmer. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what you are. If you're a Christian, you are to do it for two reasons. And it's real simple. To help others and to honor God. That's your ministry. To help others and to honor God. Now, I want you to think about your past week. And I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands. I just hope that you get on to this. How have you done this past week? How have you done it? On everyday life. Oh, hey, you know what? I talked to somebody for about 15 minutes this week. Good for you. What about all the other time? I met somebody and da-da-da-da-da. Okay. Guys, remember, you're bivocational. You are in this world. You are of this world. But more importantly, you're a member of the kingdom. And as such, you represent the kingdom of God. Everything you do in life, if you're a follower of Jesus, is bivocational. You have an occupation, and you try to be the best employee you can possibly be. But in that job, you do it to help others and to help honor God or to honor God. Some people do. Some people carry Christ with them when they go to work. Some people, oh, I'm sure it's nobody here, when they go to work, it's a different thing. When they go to work, they start mirroring those that they work with. So that means if those that they work with are over here telling dirty jokes, they're right in there with them. If those that they work with are complaining and griping and putting down the management, then they get right in there with it. If those that they work with are talking about the impossible employee that nobody likes and nobody can stand, they get right in there with it. Not real honoring to God. How do you live your life? So it says, whatever you do, it can be ministry. And it's not limited to your vocation. There's many opportunities to serve beyond that. There's many places to volunteer. What happens to my life when I begin to serve others? What happens when I begin to stop thinking about me all the time and begin to start thinking about others around me? You know what happens? It brings about three amazing benefits. One of them is satisfaction. How many of you find yourself at a place in life where you're satisfied? You don't have to raise your hand, but just in your own mind. I can honestly say I'm satisfied with life, and I'm satisfied with where I'm at in life. And you know what? Where I'm at is actually a pretty good place. I wake up in the morning and I have a smile on my face. I'm not saying I don't have problems. I'm not saying you don't have problems. But I know we have Jesus. I had to do a talk the other day, I was praying for the National Day of Prayer. And sometimes I say things that just stir the pot a little, especially in Christian circles. It's just my natural way. And so before I prayed, I was talking, and we were talking about an end of crime. That's what I'm supposed to be praying about. And as we're talking, I was talking to a group, and these are Christians and all these other, different Christian groups, and some are a little more staunch than others, some are a little more liberal than others, but they're all together there. And I'm talking, and I said, look, folks, it's this simple. It's this simple. When we're talking about crime, I said, the police don't have the answer. The government doesn't have the answer. The schools don't have the answer. Sociologists don't have the answer. And I said, and the church doesn't have the answer. There was silence, just like what I heard just now. Dead silence. And I said, but the church knows the one that has the answer. And that's what we connect with. I just throw that in there because it's a part of that whole serving process. And there's just, in serving, there's satisfaction. Serving others creates enormous satisfaction. It brings joy to my life. And most people are looking for happiness in all the wrong places. They think that happiness lies in the accumulation of things. You can accumulate everything you want to in life. You can have all the fancy cars, all the fancy homes, all the this, that, and the other, the best clothes, all of that. And you know what? None of it, zero, gets off this planet with you. It's not going to happen. You came into this world naked and you will leave the same way. Nothing goes with you. But people focus so hard on stuff. and how much stuff can I get? I got to have this, and I got to have this. To the point it becomes their God. To the point it becomes their God. Oh man, I can't do this because I've got to do this. The satisfaction comes in serving others. Joy doesn't come when we get things, but it comes when we give ourselves away. You want to find joy? Throw the stuff away or get rid of or set aside that stuff that keeps you from God. So how do you create joy in your life? There's two secrets to joy. The first secret to joy is getting the focus off yourself. The more you focus on you, the more miserable you're going to be. And by the way, people don't care how many stories you tell. They don't care what all's happening in your life because that's human nature. And if all they hear from you is story after story about you and you're not getting from them what's happening in their life, they're going to shut you off after a while. You got to get the focus off of you. The more you focus on you, the more miserable you're going to be. And it's not by accident that the word miser and miserable come from the same root word. You've got to shift your focus from inward focus, where it's all about me, to an outward focus. Life is about God and serving others. And when you begin to give your life away, the more you give, the more you get. The more joy flows into your life. The more you give your life away. And last week I talked about the idea of being able to surrender things to Christ. That's your life. And at some point, as a believer in Christ, you dropped to your knees and you bowed your head. And maybe you didn't drop to your knees, but you bowed your head. You prayed, you talked to God, and you said, God, here I am, a sinner. And I know that without you, I'm condemned to eternal separation from you and eternal suffering. And God, I'm asking you into my life, and I want you to be a part of my life, and I just want everything that you've told me you have planned for me. And when you begin and you get in this position, you begin to find joy in life. Focus off yourself. Shift your focus to being outward instead of inward. Life is about God and serving others. And when you begin to give your life away, that's when you begin to get the joy. We walk around carrying way too much of our own self. And we miss it. We miss joy. We miss the happiness that God has for us. Oh, God, I've got all these problems. How can I find joy? Because you're God. And because you tell me I'll have joy as I pour myself into you and I allow you to pour yourself into me. Philippians 2:17 says, but even if I am being poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and service coming from your faith, I am glad and rejoice with all of you. It's a fact of life that the most helpful people are the most happy people in life. If you want to be happy, you've got to be helpful. And the more self-centered you are, the more unhappy you're going to be in life. It's just the way the universe works. What can I say? The more self-centered you are, the more miserable you're going to be. Philippians 2:4 says, each of you should look not only to your own interest, but also to the interests of others. And if you lack joy in your life, if you're not happy right now, start serving. Find a place where you can volunteer to give part of your time away and you get nothing in return. Don't go into it expecting to receive something, but expecting to give and give and give. When we were on the mission, people would come out and they'd do short-term mission trips and they'd be there for a week or maybe 2 weeks and they'd get to know the people and they'd get to see what the ministry was. And all the time I would hear how we came out here to serve and we've received more than what we possibly gave. Because for that 2 weeks, there was a focus, or that week, there was a focus on serving others. And by serving others, they began to realize that they were blessed in doing that service. And they were blessed in being pouring into that. And it's the same for you. If you're not happy right now, start serving. Albert Schweitzer said, "I do not know what your destiny will be, but one thing I know. The only ones among you who will be really happy are those who have sought and found how to serve." Dr. Carl Menninger is a world-famous psychiatrist, answering a question after giving a lecture on mental health when one person asked, "What would you advise someone to do if he felt a nervous breakdown coming on?" By the way, anybody ever feel that? Yeah, I feel sometimes like the mind's just going to crack and I'm going, okay? Here was his advice. Most people expected, I guess, that he would say something like, "Consult a psychiatrist." It's like, you know what I'm talking about? The word's not coming out today. Instead, he said, "Lock up your house, go across the railroad tracks, find someone in need, and do something to help that person." The second secret to joy is that joy comes when we use the gifts that we've been given. Using your gifts just feels good. And it's the feeling of knowing that you're doing what God made you to do. You remember that movie, Chariots of Fire? Way back. Some of you are probably too young to even have heard of it. Chariots of Fire. Eric Liddell's true story. And Eric Liddell, the runner, he said this, "I believe God made me for a purpose, but he also made me fast. And when I run, I feel his pleasure." Well, you know what? I really, really, really enjoy fishing. I don't know why, but I'm really the only person in my family that likes to fish. Donna will ever so often just kind of out of pity for me give up and go fishing with me. 15 minutes, it's a boat ride after that. But it's special. From the first time I tried it, I was hooked. Woo! I know that most people do not share the passion I have for fishing, and when you think about it, it's probably pretty weird to derive pleasure from it. But I just know that I enjoy it, and sometimes it's just how I'm wired. As great as fishing is, it's nothing compared to the joy I receive when I use the gifts God has given me. When I'm given that opportunity to share Christ, when I'm given that opportunity to help somebody in need, whatever it is. You know what's great and where you find joy? It's not just in doing and giving and that. It's when your eyes are open to the needs of others. It's when you can look at them and they don't have to tell you what the needs are, but you can see it because God kind of opens your mind and says, this is what's needed. And then you step into that and you help with that. There's joy there. You know, whatever we've got, when we use it to help other people in service, you bless other people. And serving others unselfishly will create satisfaction and joy in your life. But you know, it even goes deeper than that. There becomes significance in life. Serving not only leads to a feeling of satisfaction, it leads to a sense of significance. There's not only joy, but a deep sense of peace that comes from using the gifts that you've been given. And the world understands this truth. There's a great violinist, Niccolo Paganini, and he willed his marvelous violin to the city of Genoa on one condition, and that condition was that it never be played again. The wood of such an instrument, while used and handled on a regular basis, it only wears slightly, but set aside, it begins to decay. And Paganini's lovely violin has today become a worm-eaten and useless, and about thing it's only good for is as a relic. There's all kinds of examples like that. But I think you get the idea. We have to use what we've got. When you don't use your gifts to help someone or to help others, bad things happen. What? One of the things that happens is you begin to lose those gifts. God says, if you're not going to use it, I'm not going to let you keep it. Each of you has been given something special to do in service to God. And he calls you to serve, and he calls you to do this. And if you don't, he's going to take it away. And let me tell you something, that's not fun. And that's a painful process, and that's a painful experience. And I've had people who have said, you know what, I remember early in my walk with God, and I felt really close to God, and I talked to them about what they did, and how, and they were serving in their gifted areas, and they quit. And God took it away, and suddenly they didn't feel as close to God as they once felt to God. He gives you those gifts for a reason. You need to use them to help others. And I know I've said it before that people live at one of three stages in life. The first is the first stage they live at is survival. And that means that you're just trying to get by. It's the person who's just trying to get through the week and make it to the weekend. You find yourself there, man, I'm tired of going to work. I'm tired of this. I'm tired of that. I just want to make it. I just want to get by. I just want to survive. Oh, and I'm barely doing it. Life has thrown too many curveballs my way, and it's just hard for me. But I gotta make it just a little bit further. Trying to get by. Well, the second stage of life is success. And these are people who have maybe put some money away and have achieved some form of acclaim from their vocation. Then the third is significance. And these are the people who know that they're doing what God intended for them to do. Meaning and purpose always trumps money. Meaning comes from ministry, from giving your life away. And folks, that's where we move into that significant part of life. It doesn't matter how many dollars you have. It doesn't matter what fancy things and gizmos and gadgets you may think you have. Your significance is found in how you serve God. And we serve Jesus by serving people. There's a wealthy American traveler visited a hospital in Southeast Asia. And he walked in just as a young missionary nurse was cleaning the sores of a sick, dirty, elderly man who'd been found lying in a gutter. Oh, the rich man said to the nurse, "I wouldn't do that for $1 million." And she answered quietly and firmly, "Neither would I. But for Jesus, I do it for free." Money couldn't buy her extravagant devotion to Jesus. Her life was broken and spilled out for the love of Christ. Mark 8, 34 and 35 says, "Then he called the crowd to him along with his disciples and said, 'If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up the cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me and for the gospel will save it.'" Those who give their lives will save it. In Yorkshire, England, during the early 1800s, two sons were born to a family named Taylor. The older one was, he set out to make a name for himself by entering Parliament and gaining public prestige. The younger son chose to give his life to Christ. He committed his life to serving God, and confidently, unconditionally, and wholeheartedly. And with that commitment, Hudson Taylor turned his face toward China and obscurity, actually. As a result, though, He's known and honored on every continent as a faithful missionary and the founder of China Inland Mission, also known as Overseas Missionary Fellowship. For the other son, the one that went to Parliament, there's actually no lasting monument. If you were to look it up and look him up in the archives to see something about him and see something about what the other son had done, you'd find these words: the brother of Hudson Taylor. If you want to succeed in life, commit yourself to serving God. Serving does not only bring blessing to your own life, it also brings blessing to the lives of people around you. And ultimately, it results in transformation and change in the world around us. God has called us to be a change agents in the world and to be salt and light in our society. We're talking about succession. And what is succession? Well, it means the passing on of success. When a king succeeds, it means that they pass on their title and throne to other people. Their power doesn't die with them, it continues. And knowing this, and knowing that we can pass it on, what should my attitude be towards service? 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Notice a couple of words in that verse. It says, always give yourself fully. And that word fully in Greek literally means not half-hearted. You're all in. And when you do that, your life is not wasted. The word waste just means emptiness. It's not useful. It's without purpose. Everything you do for Christ has a purpose. And it may seem insignificant, and maybe nobody else seems to know about it, but it's important. You know, we have people do things in the church, and we have no idea, or most of you have no idea who does what in some situations. And people are doing things because God has led them that direction, and they're not wanting any accolade. They're not looking for the applause of the congregation. Rather, when we serve and we do those things in the church through service, what we're looking for is the applause of heaven. That's what we seek. The Bible says that even if you give a cup of cold water in God's name, in Jesus' name, that you get rewarded for that in eternity. And sometimes we can see the difference that our service makes. Sometimes it's immediate. Sometimes it's less apparent. I heard about a pastor that was preaching a service, and that church, like our church, after the service, it would serve coffee. And we're going to go up this morning and have coffee and whatever for birthday Sunday, or birthday and anniversary Sunday. But during the sermon, the pastor asked the congregation why they thought it was important to serve coffee after their service. One little boy near the front spoke up. "I think," said the boy, "it's to get the people awake before they drive home." We are no longer serving coffee. The truth is, our service always makes a difference. And you say something like, maybe, "I'm just greeting people at the door or handing out bulletins," but you can never underestimate the power of what a friendly welcome can be. We want somebody handing out bulletins. We want somebody greeting people at the door. Why? Because that person coming in sees a smile and a welcome and, "Come on in, be part of the family." They're looking for a blessing. Would you say that you really live for other people? That you were a servant, that you're generous and always thinking about other people? What do you want to be known for? Deep down, I believe everyone wants their life to count. They want to know that they lived a life of significance. They want to know that they made a difference. Matthew 20, 26 and 27, not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be your slave. The more you serve, the greater you're going to be. Mother Teresa went to the poorest of the poor, the most outcast of the outcasts of Calcutta. And she went to people who were on the street and people who were dying. And nobody has less influence than them. And she began to take the dying into her home, and she cared for them, and she began to serve those who everybody was trampling over. And as she went to the least influential people in life, God gave her enormous influence around the world. And she could walk into Congress, and everybody would listen. She could walk into the United Nations, and everybody would listen. It was about the people, it wasn't about her. John 12, 26 says, whoever serves me must follow me. And where I am, my servant will also be. My Father will honor the one who serves me. Where can you serve that you're not serving right now? Are you serving? Are you serving? Are you doing something for Christ? Are you setting your life and part of your life aside so that you can be serving God? It is a 24/7 job, even though you're bivocational. You're ministers, and that doesn't end. John 12, 26, whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me. As serving may not earn you a Nobel Peace Prize or a Congressional Medal of Honor, but Scripture says God will honor those who serve Him. And if you want to make a difference in the world, then you need to start serving unselfishly, doing something with your life that you don't get something back for. And the greatest use of life is to invest it in that which outlasts it. There's only one thing you can take to heaven with you, and that's other people. Invest your lives in others. There's opportunities to serve folks in the church. We have different jobs and different things that people can do. All you got to do is plug in. All you got to do is let me know that you want to serve, and we'll put you to work. The former editor of Christianity Today once said that he never knew what his gift was. He just served where he saw the need. And if someone like that never knew what his gift was, but was, you know, just served where he saw a need, then this should serve as a good example to all of us. Maybe you don't know where your gift is, but you want to serve, you want to do something. A man by the name of Edward Kimball. He was an ordinary Christian. He taught Sunday school in his church, and he made his living just simply working in a shoe store. But his real passion was sharing the gospel. And one day, Edward determined that he was going to look for an opportunity to explain the gospel to a salesman named Dwight, who had just joined the staff. Edward was really nervous, and he hemmed and he hawed and he paced back and forth. Dwight was in the back room putting shoes away. Finally, Edward mustered up his courage and launched into the story of Jesus' birth and Jesus' death and Jesus' resurrection. That very day, because this Sunday school shoe salesman was willing to serve, that day, Dwight gave his life to Christ. Dwight is probably better known by you as D.L. Moody. He went on to become one of the finest, greatest evangelists that we've ever known. But the story doesn't stop there. One day Moody was preaching, and a man by the name of F.B. Meyer was listening. And he was deeply stirred by what he heard, and he went on to establish a nationwide preaching ministry. Later, while Meyer was preaching, a young man in the audience named Wilbur Chapman accepted Christ. Now, follow the story here, folks. You got to stay with me. Chapman later felt the call to evangelism. As he was proclaiming the gospel at various places, he decided that he needed some help. And he knew a young former baseball player named Billy Sunday who was looking for a job. And Chapman hired him. Billy Sunday ultimately emerged as one of the greatest preachers of the 1900s. One day, Billy Sunday was preaching in Charlotte, North Carolina, where a great move of God was taking place. Many believed. This new believer then invited a relatively unknown preacher by the name of Mordecai Ham to set up his tent in Charlotte and keep preaching. It was at this time, this tall, lanky farm boy walked down the aisle and gave his life to Jesus. His name was Billy Graham, a shoe salesman, a Sunday school teacher in England. Billy Graham, who literally reached millions for Christ around the world. Because a Sunday school teacher, a shoe salesman, decided that he was going to share Christ. Billy Graham probably delivered the gospel message to more people than any other man in history. So what are you called to do? You're called to bless, and you're called to bless others with the good news of Jesus Christ. You know what that good news is. You've heard it. Don't let your life get so wrapped up in yourself that you forget to share Christ and to show Him. You know, we all face problems. We all face problems. We all have struggles. Praise God. He overcame all of our struggles. He overcame everything this world can throw at us. And because of that, we can take everything that we have and we can direct it towards Christ. Why do I get up every morning and find myself able to smile? Because God's at work. And because I look forward to the day and who do I get to talk to today about Jesus? Who do I just get to interact with? Who do I get to help? Who can I serve? Not for me, but for God and for the kingdom. So the question I'll leave you with as we pray this morning, who can you serve today? Let's bow our heads. Gracious Heavenly Father, my prayer is that our hearts would be filled with a desire for service. My prayer, Father, is that we would not look at ourselves, but that we would look at the kingdom, and that we would see the opportunities within the kingdom that you have provided. Lord, I pray for this congregation. There are so many that they interact with. There's so many that they have the opportunity to share you with. And I just pray, Father, that they would realize that they're called to bless others. and they bless others by sharing who you are and sharing what you're doing in their life. I pray that they would find that joy that you would send to them. And I pray that they would find a peace within themselves that goes beyond all understanding. Because God, you are God, and you send that peace. So we thank you for this day. And just as the sun is shining outside, let us go and be bright beacons in this world, that the world would see the sun that shines in us. Lord, we just lift it to you. In Jesus' name, amen.